We're wrapping up the program with Diana Bronson, who I know is in the room, and she is a representative. She's in the room. A local professional from here in Montreal, the executive director of Food Secure Canada. She has a degree in sociology from UQAM, right here in town, and her career has included, through the organization she's been affiliated with, supporting social movements and as a watchdog on climate and engineering, climate engineering technology. So, with you, Diana Bronson.
Thank you. I probably had to travel the shortest distance to get here. I just had to cross the street, but it actually took me quite a long time to find the room. And I'm very sad that I missed most of your deliberations today, because we're just in a bit of a chaotic moment in the life of a nonprofit. Thank you very much, Hugo and the McGill Institute, for this opportunity to speak here today. I love the fact that I get to follow Annette Demarais, because I agree with everything she said, as adamantly as I disagreed with everything that was said in the keynote last night. But I've been asked to talk about food insecurity in Canada, which is a major preoccupation of the organization that I work for, Food Secure Canada. So just very quickly on who we are, we're a national network focused on three things: zero hunger, healthy and safe food, and sustainable production of food, or sustainable food systems. We've been around for about 12 years as a volunteer network, incorporated since 2006, and only with staff and funding for the past 18 months. And we are collectively, I would say, with many, many people, about 3,000 people were involved in the production of this document called Resetting the Table, A People's Food Policy for Canada, which was launched in 2011 and followed a series of democratic dialogues and kitchen table talks and teleconferences and wikis and all kinds of other ways in which people collaborate to come up with a common policy platform. And what we're very much working for in Canada is for a national food strategy that would be worthy of the name and that would address these interrelated issues of hunger, health, and sustainability. I want to talk very, very briefly about three studies today on food insecurity in Canada, especially for those of you who are very focused globally or who are from elsewhere, and just put them in a bit of context. You know, when the first food banks appeared in the 1980s, in the early 1980s, we thought it was a temporary measure. Those who started them thought they'd be open for 3 or 4 months. Well, over 30 years later, they're serving food to 800,000 Canadians every month, and their usage is dramatically up. They've become a kind of ad hoc, unequal social safety net that is responding to the things that our governments are not responding to. The first report I want to talk about is that was written by Olivier de Schutter, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food, who made an official mission to Canada in May of 2012 and wrote a very critical report of what he found, which you can find online. Of course, Canada, like, I'm not sure what the count is right now, somewhere around 150 countries, is a signatory to the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. And as a signatory to that covenant, our obligation is not to overnight realize the right to food and the right to health for all of our citizens, but to show something called progressive realization, that over time we're getting better at it, not worse. There's many other aspects to the right to food, but I think this is where we're failing most terribly, because food insecurity is going up, not down, in this country. There's close to 500,000 more people using food banks today than there was in 2008. The special rapporteur found that 1 in 10 families with at least one kid under 6 are food insecure. and they don't know what they're going to be eating tomorrow. 59% of those living on social assistance are food insecure. The income of someone in social assistance in Toronto would not even be enough to pay for a one-bedroom apartment. The second project, or research project, that I want to refer you to is probably the most exhaustive one on food insecurity in Canada. It's supported by the Canadian Institute for Health Research, and it's done with the collaboration of a number of universities. I believe the University of Toronto is the lead agency on it. And this is a study that's really come up with very, very shocking statistics, looking at three different categories of food insecurity in Canada, ranging from severe to moderate to marginal food insecurity, using a number of indicators that they can track over time. They've found that 12.2% of the Canadian population, or 3.9 million people in this country, are food insecure. They also found vast regional differences, which confirms studies that we know, particularly in northern Canada and amongst Aboriginal populations, where food security is far higher than it is elsewhere. The Inuit Health Survey found, in fact, that rates of food insecurity in Nunavut were 70%. 70% of children in Nunavut actually go to bed hungry. The third research project that I'd like to just refer to briefly is done out of Mount St. Vincent University. And it's done by, it's called the Food Arc, and it's a participatory action research. And what they've been able to do is, over time, track the price of food relative to incomes. It's got many goals. It does research. It does capacity building. It shares knowledge. But it's also very interested in advocacy and policy change. And it's actually low-income people and community organizations that go into the grocery stores and look at the cost of food and track them over time. And what they've found is the same as what's been found in the PROOF research project, that food insecurity is getting worse and the gap between rising incomes and the cost of food is growing. So, to cite but one of their statistics, and they do these breakdowns for single women, pregnant women, lone households, families of four, etc. But to take a family of four living in a rural area, the shortfall between what would be required to buy a nutritious food basket and what one would get on minimum wage with one full-time and one part-time employee would be a deficit of $303 a month. If they were on social assistance, they'd be missing $858 every month in order to buy nutritious food. Needless to say, they're not getting nutritious food. Of course, the recommendations are familiar from all of these studies. Increased income assistance, increased minimum wage, more affordable housing and transportation, more progressive taxation, child care. Because ultimately, it really is about income. It's not only a food issue. There's other studies that are coming out soon. Food Banks Canada issues a study called Hunger Counts, which measures the number of people in each province who are using food banks. And the Community Foundations of Canada, the 192 foundations that are grouped together under the CFC, have also just issued a report called Vital Signs, Fertile Ground, focusing on food insecurity in this country. And I think what people are realizing is that it's not enough. These band-aid solutions, a food bank here, a handout there, a good food box here. But that really what is required, I think, is the same thing as Annette was saying on the global picture. It is a paradigm shift. It is a fundamental change in the way we deal with these issues. For too long, we've had these dogmas that more trade and investment, more vertical integration, fewer players, bigger numbers. We've got the same thing in retail. We've got the same thing in farming. Less and less players, bigger and bigger size, increasing gap between rich and poor. The statistics are there. The studies have been there, and I don't at all diminish their importance. It's not what I do, but I'm very glad that other people are tracking these things and doing the studies. But what I really think that we need to do is start focusing on generating the political will that we need to have in order for change to happen. When Olivier de Schutter gave his report in Canada, he was dismissed by a number of senior cabinet ministers in Canada. I think that was a huge mistake for the government of Canada to dismiss his report in that way. I think policy change and political will begin when we recognize the right to food, when we begin to improve incomes, and when we begin to involve the people who are food insecure themselves in the discussions around this. And for that reason, my organization has many different projects of engagement, networking. Even we have a contest right now going on, it's not really a contest, it's just an invitation to people to send their 30-second video. What would you put on the throne speech if you had the choice to be able to say something about food? And you can go to our website, foodsecurecanada.org, and check out some of the videos. In fact, there's amazing ideas right across the country about what needs to be done to fix our food system. But we're going to have to take off the blinkers and get on with the paradigm shift. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. So now,